In the name of the Father, and Son, and Holy Spirit, oh God, amen. Today, I think it's appropriate we start with a Kula Sena Wintu Tayyib, okay? Because today is the first Sunday of the blessed month of Kiyak, the Coptic month that we prepare for the nativity of our Lord Jesus Christ, God the Logos, coming down and taking flesh. And it's the best month of the Coptic year. It's a month we look forward to, a month full of all kinds of great things. But the thing about this month in particular that you'll kind of notice if you follow the church here is nothing really happens in the month. Like, it's a great month, but nothing really happens as much as just it's a month of anticipation for something that's going to happen. Like, the big deal takes place on the 29th of Kiyak, which is the Nativity, Christmas, when Christ is born. But the whole month is dedicated to preparing for one thing. So that's why I call it a season of anticipation. And if you were paying attention to the readings today, the psalms that were read to us, the three psalms, as you know, it's not just one psalm read, there's three psalms. Psalm before gospel, psalm this morning in matins, psalm last night in vespers. You see the theme of the psalms, and you see if there's a anticipation kind of a feeling in the psalms. Last night, how long, O Lord, how long will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? Consider and hear me, O Lord, my God. That was last night. A man saying, how long, O Lord, how long? When will this end? This morning, from heaven the Lord viewed the earth to hear the groaning of the prisoner, to declare the name of the Lord in Zion and his praise in Jerusalem. And then just now, you will arise and have mercy on Zion for the time to favor her. Yes, the set time has come for the Lord shall build up Zion. He shall appear in his glory. I don't know much, but you don't need to know much to figure out that from these psalms, the church is telling us something great is about to happen. A people who have been waiting, anticipating, how long, O Lord, how long, just waiting for something, waiting for an answer to something. Something great is about to happen. And that's the month of Kiyak, as we prepare for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Back then, Messiah coming, save his people. But what about us? What are we waiting for, and what are we anticipating? We're fasting now in preparation for the Feast of Nativity. Why? There is the praises and the vigils. The month of Kiyak is all about keeping vigil, staying watch and vigil. For what? Why am I fasting? Why am I keeping vigil? To say happy birthday to Jesus because he was born, this is his birthday? To prepare for a birthday party? To clap for him, say happy birthday, we're happy that you came into the world? That's why the church is making us fast? And that's why we do vigils and stay up all night? What is it that we're waiting for, and what is it we're anticipating? I know what they were anticipating, what are we anticipating? Easy. Same thing. We are anticipating and waiting for the incarnation of the Lord in my life. They were waiting and anticipating the incarnation of the Lord. And we are waiting and anticipating the incarnation of the Lord. What I'm saying is that as we approach the Feast of Nativity, we are anticipating and we are preparing and we are getting ourselves really, really ready that he's coming down into my life and he's going to work a great work. That something new is going to take place. That I have known him my whole life to here, and that he is going to come and reveal himself to here. The goal of the spiritual life is not just to be yesterday, today, and forever the same place for the past 50 years. The goal is that I understood him like this, and then he incarnate, take me deeper inside him, reveal himself to me. My relationship with him takes the next step. That he comes and takes flesh in my life and becomes real in my life in a new way that wasn't before. We're not just fasting to sing happy birthday. And we're not keeping vigil to sing happy birthday. We need a new phase in our relationship with God. A new depth. That's why I like the underlined part there from that psalm. It says, yes, the set time has come. For the time to favor her, sorry. For the time to favor her, yes, the set time has come. God is telling us in this month of Kiyak that the set time has come. Something good is about to happen. Something magnificent, something great. And today, it all begins. Congratulations. how do you feel now? So what? We're going to pray the same liturgy. You're going to walk back out the same side car, same house. Something great is going to happen. Where? Where is it? Well, just like our friend Zacharias, we're going to follow the story of Zacharias and Elizabeth, who the gospel was about today. Zacharias and Elizabeth, angel came to Zacharias and told him great things that were about to happen in his life. Wonderful things. Things that eye can't see, an ear can't hear, and neither can come upon the heart of man. Angel came to Zacharias and told him things that he couldn't have imagined. But I got news for you. Zacharias left his house one way, found out the great news, and walked back in the same way. The process began today, but the fulfillment of it didn't take place today. Example. This is what the angel told Zacharias. These are great words. Watch what here he says. He tells him, you're going to have a kid, and watch this. Joy and gladness. Many will rejoice. He'll be great in the sight of the Lord. He'll be filled with the Holy Spirit. Turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. He go in the spirit and power of Elijah. Turn the hearts of the fathers, the disobedient. Make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Zacharias, I'm giving you all this today. Great. Where is it? No. Wait. Be patient. I'm giving you today, but you must be patient and wait in order to realize it, or to see the fulfillment of it, is a better kind of way of saying it. Zacharias walked in one way, got something great, left the same way. All he got was a promise that something great was going to happen. Now it was his turn to wait on that. Elizabeth, same way. She received a promise that she's going to have a child, he's going to be great, he's going to be. But how did Elizabeth leave this day? She leave any better than she started? I even argue she left worse off than she started. Okay, she started with no child and healthy. Now she has no child and she's pregnant. So, I mean, ladies who've been through pregnancy, pregnancy's not the funnest thing in the world. Headaches and feet get big and difficult time and nausea. And husbands, they have to encourage and support and we go on. My point is that today a process was begun, but it was not fulfilled for Zacharias, and it's the same thing for me and you are in our life. Zacharias didn't get it. That's why Zacharias, the angel, said to Zacharias, behold, you will be mute and not be able to speak until the day these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their own time. Angel comes, says this. Zechariah looks in his hand, says, what? I got nothing. And he says, it's not the way we work around here. The way we work around here is, I give you a promise, you go back, you patiently wait on the Lord, and you learn to wait on the Lord, and then you realize the promise. You know our problem in life? We stink at waiting. We are not good waiters. The worst person at waiting is definitely me. I hate to wait in traffic. I will design my whole day so I don't have to wait in traffic. I hate to wait at the doctor's office. And that's why I make sure when I go to the doctor's office or the haircut, I bring stuff with me so I don't have to wait and do nothing. I bring stuff with me. If I have to read a couple emails, I will print them, okay, and bring them with me. I'll do something so I don't have to wait. I don't care how much food or toilet paper or tissues I need, you can't see me in a Costco very often because I can't take the lines. I would rather go to the Wegmans and buy 100 boxes. I can't take the waiting. Many people, one of the things about me, I don't like to eat out. And often I used to say, be efficient with God's money. Don't want to waste my money, which is true. I'm definitely cheap. But I realized the real reason I don't like to eat out more than the cheap is because I hate to wait. Do you know if you go to a restaurant, how many times do you have to wait before you get to finish? You have to wait 5 times. You have to wait to be seated. You have to wait to get a menu. You have to wait to order. You have to wait for the food to come. Then you have to wait for the bill to come. And may God help you if you are with someone who you have to wait extra long to order with. We're not good at waiting. You're not good at waiting either. How many of us? Be honest, we're in church. You're sitting at the light. You're the second car. You're in a rush. The light turns green. The first guy doesn't go. And you're just ready to give him the horn. Okay? Or you start to creep up on him and try to nudge him, something like that. If he doesn't move in 1.4 seconds. Me, when I'm back there in front of my computer, as you in your front of your computer, and you're clicking refresh, 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 refresh. We are not good at waiting. We hate it. But here's the thing. Christianity requires waiting. The promises of God, not 100%, but the majority, require waiting. Very rarely does God give a promise and it is realized on the spot. In fact, this promise, like Zacharias, was an example of a promise that he received, but it wasn't fulfilled till much later. You look throughout the Bible and you will see all the promises, almost all of them, are not fulfilled on the spot, but come later. Why? Why does it have to be that way? Catholic epistle for today comes from James chapter 1. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Watch this. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. That's a big sentence. Let's read it again carefully. Let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. According to the Bible, what is perfection? What does it mean to be spiritually lacking nothing? It means to be patient. He's not talking about being patient with one another. I mean, he is talking about being patient with one another, but he's saying more so in being patient with God. Being patient and waiting on the Lord opens the door to blessings which hurrying shuts. Being patient or waiting, I'm going to use those two terms interchangeably. Being patient or waiting on the Lord opens the doors to blessings that hurrying shuts. Examples. Examples of people who were given a promise, didn't wait patiently, tried to rush and fast forward God's plan because they didn't want to wait because God is so slow and we're in such a rush, they tried to fast forward God's plan and they got themselves in trouble. How about Moses? Moses, when he was a young man, was given a promise. You, Moses, are going to lead my people out of Egypt. When he was a young man, was given that promise. I am going to deliver the Israelites at your hands. Moses said, amen. I got it. Hey, look, there's an Israelite and an Egyptian fighting. Let's go. And he went, and he took care of business, and he killed the Egyptian, and he said, okay, God, let's go with the plan. God said, no, Moses. You messed it up. You messed it up. I had a plan. That's not my plan. That's your plan. My plan required you to be patient. Your plan, you were speed things up. What happened because of your plan? Moses, you need to learn how to wait. Where should you go? You should go to the desert. How long? How long should Moses' time out be? A day, 2 days, 3 days, 40 years. He tried to rush. Can't rush God's plan. How about Abraham? Man of faith. Abraham, you're living in this land, leave your land. Abraham, the greatest man of faith. Sure, God, I leave my land. And God said, you leave your land, I'm going to give you more land than anyone else. You have no kids, I'm going to give you more kids than anyone else. Abraham said, sure, I trust you, I believe. Abraham went to the land of Canaan, just like God told him. He got there, he left his parents, he left his family, he gets there. What does he find when he gets there? Nothing. Famine. Wait a minute. God said, leave your land, go to this land, I'll take care of you. I'm in this land, there's no food. Ah, so here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to leave Canaan, and I'm going to go to the blessed land of Egypt to find food there. Good choice or bad choice? Bad choice. Abraham. The plan was you wait patiently on the Lord, and he would provide. Going to Egypt almost got you killed, almost got your wife killed, got you both in a lot of problems. Malish, let it go. Come back. No problem. Second promise, you're going to have many kids. Now this time it wasn't Abraham as much as it was his lovely wife in life, okay, Sarah, who came to him with some beautiful advice. Said, we've been waiting on the Lord for a long time. Maybe God wants us to hurry up a little bit. Here's my nice friend Hagar. Take her. Make a baby with her. And we'll fast forward God's plan. God wants us to have babies. Here. Good choice, Abraham, or bad choice? Extremely bad choice. Okay? This caused problem between Abraham and Sarah, Abraham and Hagar, Abraham and his whole world. All his wives are fighting with each other, and the boy, just crazy. Good choice or bad choice, Abraham? Bad choice. What was your problem? You didn't wait. I told you to wait. I gave you a promise. I'm going to fulfill it in the fullness of time. Your job is to wait patiently today. Waiting on the Lord opens doors to blessing that hurrying shuts. Zacharias and Elizabeth. One of the best examples of waiting on the Lord. Whenever I think of waiting on God, I think of these guys. I love the story of Zacharias and Elizabeth so much. My kid, the second one, is named Elizabeth because we love Zacharias and Elizabeth. Because they're the ideal example of patience. They were good people, righteous people, blameless people, didn't do anything wrong people. The Bible says that God takes care of the righteous. And God looks out for them and they should be flourishing. That's what the Bible says. They were righteous, good people. They obeyed God's command. How do we know that they were especially good people? Like Zacharias especially, must have been a great, great, great person. How do we know? Because what was he? What was his job in life? He was a priest. So obviously, to be a priest, had to be a great person, obviously. Logic. He was great. He did everything right. Played it by the book. No kid. Only problem in life, they had no kid. This is a problem for two reasons. Number one, it's a problem in an earthly sense because they have no children. And who's going to take care of them when they're old, etc., etc. But more so, in the Old Testament especially, when a couple didn't have children, it was seen as a reproach from God. Meaning, it was like they were in trouble with God. God cursed them, that's why they don't have children. And I'm sure every time Zacharias and Elizabeth walked by, everyone would smile at them like that, and then they would say, you know, that's the couple that doesn't have children. They must have done something really bad. And I'm sure Zacharias and Elizabeth, what did we do to deserve this? We've been righteous our whole life. And they were old people. And they were righteous. How did they respond? Did they complain like we would complain? Did they cry like we would cry? Did they stop serving God like we would stop serving God? Do you know one of the hardest things is when here I am, I'm righteous, I'm doing everything I can, I'm only asking God for one thing, and I'm not getting it, and then God tells me, go tell other people how great I am. Go help other people solve their problems. Go tell other people how God answers all the prayers in the world. And I'm sitting here, and I'm seeing this, and I can't. And I can't. But they could. They never stopped serving God. They never stopped doing what they needed to do. Because they waited patiently on the Lord. Parents with children. One of the signs of maturity of a child is when he learns how to be patient. A child who's immature, gimme, 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 now, 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 now. Gimme, gimme, gimme. When a child is growing in maturity, I can tell the child, here's a lollipop, I will give it to you after you eat your dinner. That's a sign of maturity. That when the child can wait patiently without throwing a fit and whining and complaining, that's a sign of maturity. Parents want children to mature. Our Father wants us to mature as well. And the only way for us to mature is to grow in patience. That you may be perfect, complete, lacking nothing. Did you ever think in life, look, we all have disappointments. We all have trials, hardships, whatever. Did you ever think that the disappointments in your life were meant by God to teach you patience? were given to you by God to make you perfect, complete, lacking in nothing. Did you ever think that? Zacharias and Elizabeth were excellent. They were great at the start of the story. Their patience made them perfect. They were great. Their patience made them perfect. They would not have been perfect if they had 15 kids at the start of the story. Their patience is what made them perfect. Recently, God has really been teaching me this lesson of patience. I'll give you an example to show you how God teaches lessons. In addition, how God has a sense of humor. Don't let anyone tell you that God doesn't like to smile and that God doesn't have a sense of humor. I'll prove it to you right now. This past Wednesday, God taught me an example in front of the entire church during the Bible study. This past Wednesday, we're studying in Wednesday night Bible study, Book of James. Okay, and we were studying chapter 5, which speaks about Job and patience. Okay, so I was referencing this verse in chapter 1 because James 1 and James 5 talk about patience. How patience is the most important thing. And I'm talking about patience and patience. And something strange happened that night. I got my handy dandy little clicker here. And for some reason, some unexplained reason, only God knows, I click and nothing changes. So I click again, and then it changes like 10 seconds later. So the whole time, I'm clicking, and it's like waiting, and so I'm impatient, so I push it two times, then it goes two slides, and then I have to go back a slide, and the whole night, the clicker was driving me crazy, and I wanted to kill it. And even one guy came from the back and changed the battery and didn't do anything. And the whole time, and what is coming out of my mouth? It's important to be patient. It's very important. And I spent an hour telling the people how to be patient and how it's so important, and I'm standing here like an idiot acting like an impatient fool. The Bible study should have been 2 minutes. It should have been me having the clicker, showing patience, and sending everyone home. Don't tell me God doesn't like to laugh. Don't tell me God doesn't have a sense of humor. It didn't even hit me till someone in the parking lot that night told me how ironic it was how I'm talking about patience and I want to kill the little thing in my hand. Look, we all got problems. We all got disappointments. Did you ever think that the disappointments, the speed bumps in life that slow you down, were given by God to teach you how to be perfect, complete, lacking in nothing? I'll give you another example of true patience that the church gave us. Gospel last night and gospel this morning, Matins and Vespers gospel, gave us a great example of what patience is. And patience, or waiting on the Lord, is not a passive thing as much as it is an active thing. Waiting on God doesn't mean sitting back doing nothing. I always say it takes guts and strength and a lot of toughness to be patient. The gospel last night and the gospel this morning were both about ladies. Two small ladies, frail ladies, dainty little ladies who are tougher than all of us. First, last night's gospel, Mark chapter 14. The lady with the alabaster flask who broke it on the feet and on the head of Christ, anointing for his burial. Lady who basically gave her whole livelihood, busted it right there, and all the disciples were like, how could you waste all that? And she said, this morning, another lady with guts and with strength as well and toughness, widow with two mites, Mark chapter 12. Lady with only 2 pennies in the world. Lady, save your pennies. Why are you giving away your pennies? You only got 2 of them. Save your pennies. No. Why no? Because I am not going to complain about my 2 pennies, as most of us would do. I only got 2 pennies. Why should I give any away? I'm going to hold on to them. I'm not going to complain. I'm not going to be bitter. I'm not going to whine. I'm not going to stop giving just because God hasn't given me as much as I expected. I expected God to give me this. He hasn't given it to me. That's not going to stop me from doing what I need to do, from waiting patiently on the Lord. Here's the 2 mites. That takes strength. That takes guts. That takes toughness that most of the time we lack. Because we're not good at waiting on God. We're not good at being patient. Patience is hard work. The verse for patience, I know I've told you this verse probably 10,000 times, because it's my favorite verse. And it, to me, is the epitome of what it means to be patient or wait on the Lord. Offer right sacrifices and trust in the Lord. Psalm 4 or 5, easy to remember. Offer right sacrifices and trust in the Lord. Six little words. Offer right sacrifices and trust in the Lord. Psalm 4 or 5 means I have a disappointment. I don't know why it is. God came today and said, don't worry, I'm going to solve it. I got a great promise for you. I'm coming in a new and an amazing way. I'm going to be incarnate in your life. You look around and say, where is it, God? I don't see it. Be patient. Offer right sacrifices. Give when you're supposed to give. Pray when you're supposed to pray. Serve when you're supposed to serve. Be nice when you're supposed to be nice. Don't complain. Don't whine. Don't throw a hissy fit. Be patient. Offer right sacrifices, just like Zacharias, who had every right to stop serving God, but he continued to serve God. And Elizabeth, who had every right to be a miserable, miserable, miserable person, but she refused to be a miserable person, continue to offer sacrifices and trust God to take care of the rest. Stop trying to fast forward God's plan. Last example I'll leave you with. One that all of us can understand. A food example. When someone wants to make a cake, okay, there's a lot of steps that go into the cake making. Buying stuff, pouring stuff, measuring stuff, mixing stuff, doing stuff. And then there's a moment where all the stuff goes in the oven. As soon as it goes in the oven, something good is going to come out. I'm confident of that. The stuff mixing takes time. And oh no, I forgot that I needed soy milk. So run to the Wegmans. Or I needed a pan like this. Or whatever. This can take all day, all night, can take weeks. But then eventually, it goes in. And once it goes in, it's just a matter of time. Be patient. Wait on the Lord. Trust that something good is going to come out. And if it comes out in 5-10 minutes, maybe like some chicken nuggets. If it takes like a half hour, maybe like a steak. But if you want a turkey, man, that takes a little bit of time. Be patient. Trust in the Lord. Offer right sacrifices and trust in the Lord. I'm certain he has something great for us. A new depth in our relationship with him. For each and every single person here. And he's making that promise today. You may walk home and say, I don't see anything special. But continue to offer right sacrifices. That's why we fast. That's why this is a season, not just of fasting. Like usually fasting, we think so much about Lent. It's fasting, fasting. Here we think about vigil. Like keeping vigil. Okay, and the church keeps the vigil and the tzibah and the prayers and keeping vigil. We're keeping vigil because we are waiting for the turkey to come out of the oven. You know when you're really excited about a turkey? You sit there and you watch it. And you look at it. And you peek your head inside. That's what we're doing during this season. And trust me, God has something good for each and every single one of us. A new depth in our relationship with us. He's coming. We're not just preparing to clap and sing happy birthday and go home. We're preparing for him to be incarnate in my life in a new way. Glory be to God forever. Amen.